You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Go with me here for a second. Imagine now your own healthcare problems in America, worrying if your treatment is covered by insurance, if it's in-network or out-of-network, you pick the wrong doctor, and you've got a bill maybe you can never pay. Now think about someone trying to get medical attention in the nearly five-year-old Syrian civil war. Okay? Pick the wrong hospital or doctor there, and you're dead.
It took 4 days for me to reach Turkey, because in the Syrian hospitals, they will kill me if they catch me. It happened with some friends. If Assad, his army, or the loyal people for him, if they know my real name, they will kill my parents directly, because I'm fighting him.
That's a Syrian rebel known as Mohammed in a new short film called 50 Feet from Syria, a documentary about Dr. Hisham Bismar, a Syrian-American orthopedic surgeon who volunteered on the Syria-Turkey border. Today, Dr. Bismar lives with his family in Portland, Oregon, but his return to his country for the first time in 30 years has changed his life forever.
I had a happy childhood over there. I remember it being very peaceful. I left the country when I was 18. I had just turned 18 and came to the U.S. Unfortunately, things has started to spiral down.
And when you got to where you were working with patients and refugees and injured people, what did you see? What did they say about the peaceful place that you remember when you were 18?
Well, I saw a lot of people who had their lives devastated, a lot of people who had physical injuries, but also people who had a massive psychological trauma because of the war. most of the people who I treated came actually from inside Syria. They weren't refugees in Turkey, but they came just for treatment. But yeah, it is very upsetting to see a whole generation who had basically lost their hope, and you can see the desperation in their eyes.
Could have been you.
Yes, definitely. I mean, that's one of the big reasons why I decided to go over there. I thought if I was in that situation, I would have liked for somebody to be able to provide me with some help.
How does the politics feel to you over there? Does it feel like a country that is going to resolve something, or is this just bloodshed, pure and simple?
Well, I think Syria is heading toward becoming a failed state. And that's very dangerous. When things started happening in 2011, I was following the news pretty closely. I was starting to become very frustrated and angry because I did not think the international community was paying enough attention to this problem. I knew if that's going to be the case, then things are going to get out of hand. And basically, that's what happened. It's upsetting when you talk with people about this problem. A lot of people try to talk about it in terms of geopolitical terminology. I really don't care about the Saudis, the Iranians. I care about people. People are suffering. I care about their suffering.
And that care and that emotional attachment is something that your wife had some questions about before you left. Listen.
I'm really nervous about it. I try not to talk about it too much with him, and I try not to think about it too much, but I'm nervous about everything about it. We haven't talked about the trip yet with our younger daughter. With my older son, we just try to explain where Dad's going and what he'll be doing while he's there. We've talked a little bit about, you know, how some children had to leave their homes or some families had to leave their homes and go someplace else.
It sounds like you may have had to make a deal with your wife to do this. Can you share any of the details of that deal? Did you have to tell her, I'm not going into Syria, I won't cross the border?
Yes. Originally, I thought about actually going into a hospital just across the border in Syria because that's where you get a lot of the fresh trauma. But the situation was somewhat dangerous and unpredictable, and we struck a deal. She will let me go down to Turkey if I promise not to cross the border to Syria. I did keep my promise.
What was your worst-case scenario?
Actually, trying to make medical decision right on the spot when you are faced with very complex injuries involving multiple medical system injuries which has been neglected. that was kind of difficult. I knew most of these people only had one shot. They came from Syria. I had to make the decision whether I'm going to operate on them or not. If I wasn't, they basically left. There was really no way for me to communicate back. I had one patient who came in with a shattered elbow, pretty bad injury. He was asking for a artificial joint. He was a younger patient. He's a laborer, and that wasn't the right thing to do for him. He was pleading with me because he was the last member of his family left alive, and he said he needed to provide for his parents. I offered him an elbow fusion, and he did not think that he would be able to use that being a laborer. He left, and I was not able to touch base with him again.
What surprised you the most about your work there?
I would say the complexities of injuries. A lot of people came in with severed nerves, with broken bones, atrophied muscles, skin loss, all in the same patient. It was very difficult to see a patient who came in just with a single simple problem.
What do you think you have, what knowledge do you have that people in America could use to understand better what's going on?
A big thing is if this problem is not contained, it's going to continue to spiral down. One big thing why I decided to go along and with the documentary is actually to try to bring to the American people the issue of barrel bombs. These have been very devastating on civilian populations in Syria. I really do not understand why the international community did not push harder for a no-fly zone. This would have decreased the civilian casualty.
One last question. Is there anybody you want to see again? Any particular patient that you can think of right now who needs you right now?
I would like actually to see how the Abdullah, the 5-year-old kid who I operated on, is doing. He had a long surgery. I remember the day after his surgery, I asked him how he's doing, and all what he said is, "I thank God." I mean, this is a 5-year-old kid who had at least 10 incisions in a 4-hour surgery. I was really very impressed by his response.
Well, Dr. Bismar, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you for having me, John. Thank you.
Dr. Hisham Bismar recently traveled to the Turkish-Syrian border to volunteer as an orthopedic surgeon treating the influx of Syrian refugees flowing across the border into Turkey. His story is featured in the short film, 50 Feet from Syria.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.